time. As for the real fishing boats, they were an international source of concern due to their well-documented tendency to hoover up fish at a rate that the world's oceans couldn't sustain. But fishing was only a small part of it. There were indications that substantial reserves of oil and gas were waiting to be plundered beneath the seabed. And that, many analysts believed, was the real reason for Chinese expansionism. The Heath's mission was to challenge the Chinese government's claims of sovereignty in the entire South China Sea, as part of the ongoing effort to prevent China from annexing the entire area. The immediate source of concern was the smudge of land visible up ahead. It was called Mischief Reef. And, having spent hours studying satellite photos of the circular coral formation, Franklin had a mental image of it. The passageway to the inner lagoon had been enlarged to a width of 900 feet so that Chinese dredgers could pass through. Dredgers the Chinese had been using to pump white sand up onto the existing land, enough sand to support buildings, and Franklin knew that similar reclamation efforts were underway elsewhere. According to Chinese government, all of the projects were peaceful in nature, like the airstrips that could be used for search and rescue missions, a pretense that no one believed, least of all the men and women who ran the Pentagon and wanted to reaffirm America's right to send ships through international waters. "Any fucking time we want to," as one admiral put it. Franklin approved of the mission, but like her peers, she understood how uncertain the current political situation was, both internationally and at home. Part of that stemmed from the fact that the President of the United States was notoriously unpredictable. On Monday, he might be in favor of lifting sanctions on Russia. By Tuesday, he could oppose it. And the President's posture regarding China was no different. According to Hayden's supporters, it was all part of a clever strategy to keep opponents off balance. Those on the other side of the aisle suggested that the lack of clarity resulted from a short attention span and a tendency to follow whatever advice he'd heard during the last 10 minutes. Including that provided by Fox News. Franklin's thoughts were interrupted by the shrill sound of a whistle, followed by an announcement over the ship's PA system.
"Man overboard! Man overboard! Starboard side! This is not a drill! This is not a drill!"
Franklin felt something like cold water enter her bloodstream as the OOD officer of the deck, Lieutenant Commander Lambert, began to issue orders. Some idiot had fallen into the drink, and given the ship's circumstances, that could be disastrous. What if the Chinese managed to get their hands on him? Shit, shit, shit! They would use the sailor for propaganda purposes at the very least, and might take the opportunity to harass the ship with flybys or other forms of intimidation. After reducing power and checking to make sure the man in the water was well clear of the destroyer's screws, Lambert ordered, "Slow astern," followed by, "Stand by! Launch a boat!" Franklin ordered. "Put an officer on board and arm the crew. Who's the floater? Do we know?"
"Seaman Larry Wilson, ma'am," the navigator replied.
What the hell was he doing?
"We don't know, ma'am."
"Is he okay?"
"As far as we can tell, he's wearing a life jacket and swimming toward the ship." "Sound general quarters. This might turn into a shit show." "Aye, aye, ma'am."
Franklin heard a shrill whistle, followed by a klaxon, and the announcement every sailor was familiar with.
"General quarters, general quarters! All hands, man your battle stations!"
That was little more than a formality in this case, since all the ship's sections were closed up and on high alert.
"Tell Lieutenant Chow to get on the horn and warn the trawlers off," Franklin ordered. "They are not, I repeat, not to approach Wilson. I'm going aft."
The Heath's mission center had been compared to something from Star Trek. Huge flat panel screens were mounted against the starboard bulkhead. Rows of computer stations faced the monitors, and the 20 people stationed in front of them were trained to handle all of the ship's communications, weapons, and engineering functions. TAO, Tactical Action Officer Chow, was waiting for Franklin. She was short and intense.
"I can't raise any of the trawlers, ma'am, but they're gabbing with each other."
"Keep trying,"
Franklin ordered. "Maybe we can herd them like cattle." The Heath was equipped with 2 Northrop Grumman MQ-8 Fire Scout unmanned helicopters, which could be launched and controlled from the mission center. She leaned in between the UAV pilots.
"Are your birds ready to lift?"
"Yes, ma'am,"
Lisa Rafferty replied.
"What kind of loadout are they carrying?"
"Hellfire missiles," Derek Foster answered. "2 each."
"Excellent.
Put them in between the trawlers and Wilson,